Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Happy Trash Tuesday to you. DA with you. And we'll take your trashes throughout the morning. Anything that you're venting about, hit us up at 855-212-4CBS on the phones or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Coming up this hour on the show, we'll talk about what tonight's first college football playoff rankings might look like. We'll also talk to Jerry Rice, Pro Football Hall of Famer, as well later on in the hour, and we'll continue taking your trashes. But first up this hour is a three-time Pro Bowl tight end, currently for the Tennessee Titans. Joining us this morning on the show, Delanie Walker. Delanie, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing great, my man. Thanks so much for joining us. And for you as a tight end, has it been difficult at all? What type of challenges is there when you have two different starting quarterbacks in the same season after Ryan Tannehill took over for Marcus Mariota a couple of weeks ago?
Probably the only difficult thing is the cadence. You got to learn the cadence. You know, they say it differently, but at the end of the day, this is the NFL. Whoever is at that position, you got to be able to answer, catch the ball, know what you're doing, and pretty much that's how I look at it.
Really? So there's really no difference in terms of styles or adjusting to a quarterback's tendencies? Really no challenge there?
If you want to get critical, I would say that Ryan may throw the ball a little harder, get it out of his hands a little faster. That's probably about it. But at the end of the day, if you was throwing me the ball, I'm going to catch it. So I think that's how I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, you've been in the league for such a long time, more than a decade now. Are you the type of player that talks to the quarterback about what his tendencies or likes or dislikes are to try to make him comfortable? Is that part of the role of being a veteran in that huddle, in that locker room for that long of a time?
No, I don't think I do anything like that. I don't want to, scare the guy. I'm the type of person that tell him if I'm even, I'm winning. If you need someone to get the ball to, throw it to me. Like, I'm giving him confidence to release that ball to me. If he did have some tendencies where he felt like if I was even, he didn't want to give the ball. So I'm over here. I won't say, oh, this is a bad tendency of you. I give him pointers of like, if I'm even, I'm winning. If you need to get rid of the ball, throw it to me. And them the type of messages I give my quarterbacks.
Delanie Walker joins us this morning on the show, three-time Pro Bowler. Now, you've been in the league since 2006, so you're doing something right. What is the key to remaining young at 35 years old and still being able to play at your best and stay healthy, which you've been able to do for such a long time in the NFL?
I would have to say, taking care of my body is the main thing I do is cold tubbing, rehabbing, getting the treatment that I need after every game, hot tub, massages, and then, eating right is always the best thing you can do. Whatever you put in your body is going to fuel it. And I think that's what's been giving me the edge on being able to play this game so long.
Delanie Walker joins us this morning on the show. I saw you tweet out a picture of your Halloween costume, which was pretty awesome. You had the devil mask on. It had the horns on. You had the fly red suit as well. And then you tweeted that you had a beer for breakfast on Sunday morning. How how can you put down the beer for breakfast?
No, man, you know it's Johnny Cash. Come on.
No, that was awesome, though.
Yeah, it was. No one knew who I was. It was crazy. I literally walked around this event. No one had any idea that was me, and I thought that was awesome, just to feel like, you know, normal. So it was great. And then that quote, man, you know, Johnny Cash in that black suit, even though I didn't have a black suit on, I just felt like that Johnny Cash moment. So I just thought that was a great quote from one of his songs, and I just had to put it out there.
Yep, it's one of the best. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet through my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. That was pretty cool. Delaney Walker joining us this morning on the show. You are teaming up with FedEx and the USO to support military veterans and their families as they prepare for life after military service. Why is this cause close to you and what you'd like to bring to the table as an NFL veteran?
Because you got to understand the women and men that protect this country, and they do a really good job at doing that, and they sacrifice their life to go overseas and make sure that we're safe every day. So I'm able to play this game with no worry. So when they transition out of the military, it's always great that they can have an opportunity to either get that one-on-one training or finding a job or giving a job can put them in a better situation after retiring from the military.
And you actually have a pair of service members that are working inside the Titans organization. So that's another element that you're talking about, life after military service. What do they bring to the organization?
Pretty much they help with at the stadium, ground keep. Make sure we're able to, you know, go out there and play fast on a nice field. And pretty much anything else that they need done at that stadium, they do a great job of doing that. I've heard great things about John and what he brings to the table. So I'm excited that we're able to do that here with the Titans, especially at the stadium, giving him that job that can, you know, change his life.
Delaney's going to meet some amazing men and women who have served our country and celebrate each of them as they prepare for the next chapter over the course of today and future days as well as he teams with FedEx and the USO. There was a report yesterday that the NFL could be thinking about trying to do a team full-time in London, perhaps the Chargers. And who knows who that franchise might be in the future? Who knows when that will be? Perhaps you'll be retired by that point in time. But I'm wondering, from a current player's perspective, would you ever think about, if you could sign as a free agent, wanting to play full-time across seas in London?
Yeah, I've heard talk about us playing full-time in London. I think that would be great, but honestly, that's a long flight every time you got to travel for a away game, right? So if I had the opportunity, would I take advantage of staying in London? Sure. But would it be good on the body on traveling that far every game? I'm not really sure. And but given the opportunity, I'll probably play for London.
Really?
In London.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting because there's a lot of life stuff that goes into it. We just see you on TV and figure, well, you put on a helmet, you put on shoulder pads, you go out and play football. But there's a whole life involved. And you'd have to live full time there. And if you have kids or, you know, people that had kids, guys that had kids, would have to enroll them in school there if they move the family out there. If they didn't, their family would be somewhere across the pond. And those are all things that you'd have to weigh and kind of look at. So in your mind, those challenges would be worth it to go out there and play for a full season in London.
Yeah, that's them are the things you got to look at. Like you said, it's so much surrounding that opportunity to play in London. Do you bring the family? What school do you put the kids at? The travel, the living situation. You probably going to be just you and your family. You're going to be the only family members you have out there in London. So, I mean, it's stressful, but at the end of the day, you got to look at, is it a great opportunity for you? Is it a great opportunity for the NFL? And then also taxes. What's the taxes purposes? Because you always got to look at that at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, no doubt. So what makes you feel like, you know what, if I had that opportunity, I would want to do it?
Maybe because I'm so, I've been playing for 14 years now. I think that why not? It's a great opportunity for me to live in London for a year or two and get some exposure there. Why not do it? You know, I'm late in my career where I feel like I can do that. I can probably make that transition with the family and do it the way I want to do it, and just take advantage of an opportunity to play in London.
Mm-hmm. Delanie Walker joining us this morning on the show, 13-year NFL veteran, 3-time Pro Bowler, member of the Tennessee Titans, and Delanie's working alongside FedEx and the USO today to support military veterans and their families as they prepare for life after military service. Really cool stuff, Delanie. I appreciate you dropping on by, my man. Thanks so much for doing it.
Thank you.
Delanie Walker joining us this morning on the show. We'll talk more about this report that came out yesterday of the NFL's long-term plan, which might include moving the Chargers full-time to London, because I've got a lot of thoughts on this. So we'll talk about that in a little less than an hour from now, top of next hour. But there's a guy that is playing. There's a current athlete, current NFL player, saying, yeah, I would do it. And I do think it's interesting that he said, I'm at the end of my career, maybe play there for 1 or 2 years, see what it's all about. I think guys later on in their career, for one last stop, might find it invigorating, might find it exciting. Say, hey, this is an opportunity to see another part of the world. Perhaps you can build a brand in a country that does not have its own team. And maybe you look at it as a great business opportunity. But I wonder about younger guys that are still trying to establish their careers. And I wonder about guys, you know, you're 25 years old. You're living the life. Do you really want to live the life in London, which is totally foreign to you? Or do you want to live the life in the States? Do you want to be single in the States? Do you want to try to build your career and get your endorsement opportunities in the States and, you know, play closer to what you know? I always wonder about that. But we'll talk more about this coming up here in about 45, 50 minutes from now. Interesting stuff from Delanie Walker, tight end of the Tennessee Titans. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. And it's brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. GEICO.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Vinny's in Arizona listening to 94.3 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Vin.
Hey, how's it going, D.A.?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir.
Good.
So I want to trash on Dak Prescott.
Okay.
Before you start making comments on, you guys can roll through anybody. Why don't you try beating a team that doesn't have a starting quarterback that didn't score a touchdown?
Yeah, I think it's a little premature as well. Trash him. You know, Dak Prescott plays with confidence. That's great. I like Dak generally as a leader, and I think that at times he can be very, very good. But when I saw this quote last night, or actually this morning in USA Today from Dak, I had to roll my eyes. Prescott said, quote, those guys weren't beating us. It was us getting in our own damn way. When we're rolling and doing what we do, there isn't a team in the bleeping league that can stop us. We just need to do what we did in the Eagles game when we dominated from the opening snap because we didn't commit no stupid turnovers or make any mistakes. We just took care of our own business and pounded them. Which is fine to say, but the Dallas Cowboys last night did not beat a very good team. They beat a bad team. They beat a team with 2 wins. And for the Cowboys at 5 wins, to have 4 of them against the Giants, the Jets, and the Dolphins, and Washington, that tells me all I need to know about the Dallas Cowboys not having been truly tested yet. They did beat the Eagles top to bottom, dominated them at home a couple weeks ago on Sunday night, and looked great doing it. But you can't do that once in half a season and then make the claim that when we play at our best, we can dominate anybody. You haven't proven that. You haven't proven that at all. And last night is not the time to be crowing about how good you could potentially be. And that's always the worry to me with the Dallas Cowboys, is that it stems from the owner thinking you're better than you are. Do they have the talent to be very, very good? Yeah, they've got the talent on both offense and defense. They've got the talent to win games, not a game singular, games in January. They've got that type of talent. But do you believe that they will put it all together when it matters most against great competition? Do you believe that their head coach will have them on point and accountable in those situations? Do you believe that everybody in that organization understands how difficult it is to be great? The answer is no. And quotes like that cement that. When we come back here on the show, is Popeyes really worth getting stabbed for with a chicken sandwich? Also, Jerry Rice is going to join us. It's all straight ahead. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
Hey, good morning, DA. Love your take. Kind of a recent listener to your program, and I love it. You're awesome.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Full episodes are available of the DA show. If you miss anything or want to hear it again in podcast form, get full episodes of The Da by simply going to iTunes, radio.com, or other places that podcasts are downloaded, like Stitcher or Spotify. Just search The DA Show and you'll find full episodes there. The Game Plan for Success, sponsored by Napa. Taking a look at the Washington Nationals. Nope, we're taking a look at the Oakland Raiders. Very much alive in the AFC playoff picture. That's an incorrect sentence in this read. Just one game back of the Colts for the final wild card spot. Thursday night, they host the Chargers. Their game plan for success has to be slowing down the Chargers' run game. It's become kind of alive as Melvin Gordon has knocked off the rust. A win in prime time in the final weeks, and the Raiders' tenure in Oakland could actually push John Gruden's crew to an unlikely playoff push. Napa believes every driver deserves quality parts. That's why you can do it yourself at Napa Auto Parts Store or have it done for you at a Napa Auto Care Center. Either way, that's Napa know-how. So just so you guys know how this usually works, Mraz gets updated reads from our sales team. And it's basically a bracket. So it's think of it like a donut. They give us the first line and the last line. And then Mraz fills in the middle for, in this case, which team we're going to highlight. Jots down a few bullet points and I read it. Unfortunately, Mraz did not update the first half of the donut from last week when clearly the game plan for success was about the World Series and the Washington Nationals. So he left in the Nationals part of the read and then went into the Raiders' body, the middle of the donut, if you will.
That's on me. That's on me.
Hey, that's leadership right there.
That's absolutely on me. I got to be better than that. That's on me. Okay. I must have an infestation.
Anyway, it's all about the Raiders. All about the Raiders.
So, by the way, the game plan for success worked for the Nats last week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We're going to have Jerry Rice join us coming up here in about 6 minutes from now, so stand by for that. But in the meantime, can we just talk about this Popeyes thing? Because, as you know, no sports radio show in America marries sports and food quite like us.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
My ass! My fat ass!
Now, a lot of men in America will talk about, oh, I love to eat, oh, I love food, blah, 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 and I love sports as well. But this show really owns it. I mean, we really wear it. You can say you love food, okay, and you can say you love sports, but if you're hosting a sports talk radio show or you're producing a sports talk radio show, are you eating hot dogs competitively on the radio multiple years in a row? Are you eating Death by Salsa multiple years in a row? Are you taste testing crazy flavored potato chips multiple years in a row?
Suck down this hot dog.
Are you eating a box of awkwardly labeled Thailand snacks that have crustaceans on the bag routinely?
Aioli?
Are you constantly giving the listeners recipes of food to make and eat?
Boblio?
The answer is no. So I don't want to hear it across the country where people say, oh, yeah, we're really into food on this sports talk radio show. There's a difference between liking to eat and living to eat.
Cheese balls.
And making eating part of your very being. And that's what we've done around here. And so, yeah, sure. You've probably seen my travel series, Nomad. I've developed an entire series developed surrounding eating. Going somewhere and eating. Going to see sports and eating. And when I saw the Popeyes craze with this chicken sandwich, I said, I should probably try this Popeye's chicken sandwich. Nobody loves, I mean, really is passionate about food in my life more than Mraz. And Mraz, I'm sure you've also thought, should I go eat this Popeye's chicken sandwich that has gone viral?
I love Popeye's and I love chicken sandwiches, so of course I've thought about it.
But my hesitation was, number one, it's viral, so right now is not the time to do it. Right now, you're just fighting everybody to go. I mean, what? We're waiting in line for a chicken sandwich that might be sold out. And then there's violence in line.
And then you don't enjoy it because then you're in a bad mood by the time you eat it.
And I'm going to wait 50 people deep to go eat a chicken sandwich when I can go to Chick-fil-A and get a chicken sandwich and, you know, drive through the drive-thru in 10 minutes. I mean, the whole thing was like, I'm not going to do this now. This is very of the moment, and I'm not going to do it now. And then secondly, you know, I mean, not for nothing, but a lot of the people that were eating it on my feed, on my timeline, were not people I respect from a food standpoint. You know, a lot of people that I saw on social media, oh, definitely going to try the Popeye chicken sandwich. I was like, I don't care what you think about food. I haven't seen you ever eat anything interesting ever. Now, if Mraz is slobbing down a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich or a Popeye chicken sandwich or anything and says, oh, my God, you've got to eat this. This is my review. I'm listening. I'm listening. I respect them in that way.
Got to have thick meat.
But the rest of the rubes on my timeline, I'm like, you're just doing this to be cool right now. So I said, I'm not doing this right now. I don't want to be part of this. And then yesterday, wouldn't you know it, in Maryland, there is a line because they brought the Popeyes back, the chicken sandwich back after taking it away for a couple months. And they're waiting in line. Some guy cuts another guy. They get into a verbal argument. I'm not joking about this. Yesterday, this verbal argument in line waiting for the chicken sandwich at Popeyes spills into the street. They start fighting. One guy stabs the other guy to death, and then runs away. Here's the police department spokesperson from a local news report.
Any response from Popeyes? Are they going to stop the sale of the sandwich
here?
We
are not. I myself have not spoken with anyone from Popeyes. Right now, we are in the process of trying to find the person responsible for this.
Jeb, what exactly happened in line that led up to this fight? Did someone cut in front of someone?
So those are our initial details. That somebody cut in front of the other.
I've got a lot of thoughts on this, okay? But if you're getting into an altercation that results in a stabbing in line for a chicken sandwich at Popeyes, everything about it's wrong. Everything is wrong about this. Everything. It's like Walmart on a Black Friday. Guys, it's a chicken sandwich. It's not a DVD player for $20. Standing by is the greatest wide receiver ever, a 13-time Pro Bowler. He is a Pro Football Hall of Famer and widely regarded as the GOAT, the greatest football player ever. New book, America's Game, the NFL at 100. Jerry Rice joining us this morning on the show. Jerry, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? It's always great to catch up with you, my man. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is a great time of year because the NFL races start heating up, the games start meaning more, and this year, somebody who loved the history of the game, it's just been everywhere, the NFL history of 100. How has it been for you? I know that you love the history of the game as well. What's it been like to watch kind of the ceremonies and the remembrances of the 100 years of the NFL this season?
You know what? It brings back so many memories, and, you know, you're talking about all the players before us, and, you know, how they really made the game what it is today. And I'm just like a little kid, man. It's like the greatest game ever. And just to see everything evolve the way it has, you know, it's just something I'll never forget.
There's a few players that we all have that we are very passionate about, that we loved, we adored when we were kids. Did you have a player that either you wore the jersey of, had a poster of, or watched on TV and said, that's my hero, that's my guy?
You know, I had so many players, like a Lance Vaughn, John Stallworth. Even then I got a chance to play with Dwight Clark and also Freddie Solomon. My team back in the day was the Dallas Cowboys, and I remember Roger Staubach. And, you know, I thought I was going to really become a Dallas Cowboys, but San Francisco had something to say about that. They jumped down to that 16th spot, and they picked me. And then I thought about Joe Montana and Bill Walsh and Eddie DeBartolo, you know, the greatest owner ever. And so, you know, everything been like a dream come true for me.
Jerry Rice joins us this morning on the show. A new book, America's Game, the NFL at 100. Was Joe as calm and collected in big spots as his reputation suggests, or is that a little blown out of proportion?
I can't disclose that. No, I'm joking. But, you know, of course, yeah, they used to call Joe Cool, and nothing rattled this guy. You know, he had complete composure in the huddle, and I think we fed off that. We knew if we had any time on the clock, that we could move the ball downfield and win the football game. That's just like Super Bowl 23 on that final drive when Joe came into the huddle and he started pulling grass and he started, you know, calling out two plays. Then you break the huddle and everything goes completely quiet and we just start executing, move the ball all the way downfield, and we won that Super Bowl.
The amazing thing is Joe Montana was not physically imposing. I mean, he had those little chicken legs.
No.
And,
oh, yes.
You know, when he didn't have pads on, he just looked like a normal guy. And yet on Sundays, he was a totally different guy. What did you think when you first saw him up close without his pads on?
Well, you know, I have always thought of Joe as being, you know, a god. You know, and when I got drafted, I said, you know, I'm really going to go meet God. And but when I saw him, and my locker was right down from his locker, you know, I'm looking him up and down and stuff like that. You know, he had those little skinny legs. But Joe, you know, he was a mobile quarterback also. He could run. But Joe was all about the West Coast offense and the timing. He didn't hold on to the football, and the ball was, you know, always in the air. And I think when you look at Tom Brady, he went back, he watched a lot of film on Joe Montana because you see some of the same things, you know, with Tom Brady.
Jerry Rice joins us this morning on the show. We had Ronnie Lott on the show last week, and I asked Ronnie how he felt about leaving in 91, 2 years with the Raiders, 2 years with the Jets. Do you ever think if maybe he should have stayed? And he said, you know, I think about that a lot, and I think about whether I should have taken less to stick around and try to win championships. Because after he left, you guys were still in NFC Championship games. You went to the Super Bowl and won it in 1994. What was it like to lose Ronnie Lott after the 1990 season?
Yeah, man, it was tough. It was tough to lose Ronnie. It was tough to lose Joe. And I'm like, oh, wow, you know, if they get rid of those two guys, I'm sure it's going to, you know, come to a point where they're going to try to do the same thing for me. And I was fortunate because I went on to the Oakland Raiders. We went to the Super Bowl, but we lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I had some good years with the Raiders. Then I went on to Seattle for a little bit. But I don't regret, you know, leaving and moving on because I still wanted to play football. You know, the big talk now is about Tom Brady. Is this going to be his last year with the Patriots? And if Tom still wants to play, you know, if he's gonna go somewhere else or if he's just gonna call it quits. So you have to make a decision, and you have to live with your decision. And I was able to go on and have some great years.
With Tom Brady, Joe Montana, they're oftentimes considered the best quarterbacks in NFL history, either 1-2, 2-1, however you want to rank them. I think about Dan Marino a lot, though, and how circumstances, you know, that can often define your career. And Dan oftentimes didn't have a great defense, didn't have a great running game. When you think about the greatest quarterbacks ever, do you consider Dan Marino one of them?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Man, I would have loved to have caught a ball from Dan Marino. I mean, that tight spiral, and, you know, he had great vision on the football field. Duper, Clayton, all those guys, they had fun. And, you know, I think Dan Marino is right up there. You know, it's just unfortunate. It's unfortunate that he didn't win a Super Bowl. I'm one of those guys. I feel it's one of those things. You have to win a Super Bowl to be defined as being one of the best. Now, that's just the way I think, but, you know, a lot of players that really didn't get that opportunity, you know, they might not feel that way, but I just felt that you had to win one.
You know, you've been asked a lot whether you're the GOAT or Tom Brady's the GOAT, and you've had a really humble answer by saying, you know, there could be multiple GOATs.
Yes.
You know, and you never are one that want that wants to draw attention to how great you were or your own personal stats. Is it awkward for you at all to be kind of asked, do you think you were the greatest and have to kind of, you know, I'm sure you want to give respect to everybody, including Tom Brady, when you're asked that.
I never thought of myself as being one of the greatest. I still till today, I just played a game that I really love doing. And I like entertaining people. And I like everything that came along with that. You know, those training camps, going there, having those two-a-days, you know, putting those pads on, all of that stuff. And that's getting me, you know, ready for the season and stuff like that. So, you know, like I said, there's a lot of ghosts in all different professions, but there's a lot of ghosts that are not in athletics, too. You know, you got doctors, lawyers, teachers, and all of that. So in different professions, and you know, but nothing wrong with trying to be the greatest of all time in whatever you're doing.
Super Bowl 24, 55-10 over the Denver Broncos. That's as close as I've ever seen to a perfect football game played. Was that as close as a perfect football game you ever played in?
I'm gonna tell you, before that game, that Friday, we had no mental mistakes. We were so sharp, and we were ready to play. And I think on that first drive, I was not even the primary when I scored that touchdown, but Joe went through looking at his number one, his number two. Then he came back to me, and I uncovered. He threw me the ball, and I was able to get into the end zone. But the execution was right on point. We knew that. We wanted to, jump on the Denver Broncos, and we were able to do that and win that Super Bowl.
Odell Beckham gave Tom Brady goat-haired goat cleats last week. Would you like a pair?
I thought that was pretty cool. But you know, the Cleveland Browns, man, they got a lot. They got a lot going on right now.
And
I'm gonna tell you this, because you know I heard about what the officials told them during halftime, that, you know, they had to change their shoes or they wouldn't be allowed back on the football field. So, you know, distractions like that was something I always tried to stay away from. And some, like, you know, there are certain uniform codes that you have to live by.
Mm-hmm.
So, I found that to be a little of a distraction for them.
Jerry Rice has his new book called America's Game, the NFL at 100. You must have had a lot of fun putting together this book. I know how much you appreciate NFL history.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. I was just like a little kid, and I got so excited about the history, you know, thinking about Lombardi, you know, what type of coach was he and stuff like that, because I got coached by Bill Walsh, you know, Johnny Unitas, all of that, the Great Depression. When you think about that, and also World War II, the football, you know, it's like football almost didn't come about, you know, and it's just the histories, the stories and stuff like that. Blacks, you know, being, trying to get into the NFL, and it's just got great storylines. And when you pick this book up, you're not going to want to put it down.
Jerry Rice, check it out. America's Game, the NFL at 100, available all places books are sold, including Amazon right now. Check it out. Jerry, it is always an honor to have you here on the show, my man. Thank you so much for doing it today. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me, okay? Have
you
a good
it.
One.
Jerry Rice joining us this morning on the show. And for a DA that used to wear a Jerry Rice jersey and catch passes in the backyard, when we've had him on the show, that's the third time we've had him on the show, once on the phone with the Buttermilk Horseradish Ranch, and then once from the Super Bowl, and then for that one, that is always one of the biggest thrills I will ever have in this industry. So that was awesome.
Buttermilk Ranch.
America's Game, the NFL at 100 by Jerry Rice. When we come back here on the show, we'll talk about tonight's college football playoff rankings. What should the rankings look like later today? I'll tell you mine next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
You're gonna get a LeBron as the Terminator. How many different remakes of these movies come out all the time? You're telling me when you get LeBron and he's a muscular dude like that, we're not gonna get him in a Terminator? He will be the Terminator. Within the next decade, you will get a Terminator remix with LeBron as the star. He's already in L.A. It makes too much sense for you guys to mock me.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
48 minutes past the hour. D.A. with you here on CBS Sports Radio. This week's Exxon Unexpected Moment. The Dolphins getting their first win of the season and beating the Jets on Sunday. Miami seemed destined to do all they could unintentionally to get to 0-16. But Ryan Fitzmagic, 3 touchdowns. The Dolphins make Sam Darnold look like he was facing Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas, and Sam Madison. Miami still playing the Jets. The Giants and Washington again. Wins there may help them get out of getting the top quarterback. If industrial plants could capture CO2, think how we could help lower emissions. ExxonMobil working to make that happen. That's unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. The DA show is available on YouTube. Check out the best of clips every single day. Relive the best. And today, certainly, Meraz's epic Pat Shurmur rant is in there. And said rant is also available on social media as we speak on Twitter, DA on CBS, or at CBS Sports Radio, as Meraz truly melted down this morning over another bad Giants loss and Pat Shurmur looking lost.
How about Pat? You realize how important timeouts are, Pat.
Dixie Landan tweets, DA, it's not worth stabbing someone over a chicken sando from Popeyes, but I'll give you 3 things it's totally okay to stab somebody over. Your money, cold beer, and Meraz's football food of the week. You touch my buffalo chicken stromboli, I'm going to cut your pinky toe off. So just to rebound back to the Popeyes situation. Yesterday, they re-released this Popeyes chicken sandwich that went viral, sold out everywhere. There were fights at chicken, at Popeyes, employees getting into it with customers because customers were so unhappy that there was no chicken sandwiches left. And yesterday, after it came back in line, a million people there waiting to get this chicken sandwich, somebody cuts in the line, and this guy ends up getting into a verbal altercation with the guy that cut. It spills into the street, and it ends in a stabbing, and a guy dies. Dead. Done. Over. A chicken sandwich. Now, the guy that did the stabbing flees the scene, which, by the way, talk about disrespectful. You've now cut in line, I think. That's the cutter. The cutter cuts in line, gets into an altercation, stabs a guy, ends up killing him, flees the scene, doesn't even get the chicken sandwich. And you'll probably never get the chicken sandwich now. That was your best shot at the chicken sandwich. You were already in line and, you know, quite frankly, just stabbed a guy so that probably people are going to let you go to the front of the line pretty quick. You probably don't have to do much to get to the front of the line. Now you're on the lam. That chicken sandwich place, that Popeyes knows what you look like because they're all over the news. Everybody in line knows what you look like. The authorities are on you. You probably never get the sandwich now. So what, you know, what ends up happening? Guy dies and the guy that does the stabbing doesn't even get the chicken sandwich.
Look, this is why don't fall for the viral stuff. Wait it out. You don't need whatever everybody is steamrolling each other over at Walmart on Black Friday. You don't need the Furby. You don't need the Cabbage Patch doll. You don't need the PlayStation whatever. You don't need it. You don't need the Popeye's chicken sandwich. You don't need the Cronut. You don't need any of this. You'll get it at some point in time when things die down. If it's really good, it'll still be there. You don't need it now. Don't be whipped into a frenzy because you got to have it. You need it now. Everybody else has got it. Don't do it. And if I could do a word to the wise as well, here's my public service announcement for the day. If you are fighting with others for something that is not life-threatening, like a Furby, like a big screen TV at Walmart that's $84, like a Popeye's chicken sandwich, and you create violence, you are part of the problem. You are not part of the solution. You're part of the problem. Get them out. Get them out. Now, tonight is going to be the first college football playoff rankings, and I think LSU needs to be number one. They're the best team in the country, in my mind, have the best quality wins. Obviously, they'll be tested coming up on Saturday afternoon at 3:30 Eastern time on CBS. I would put Ohio State at number two. I still don't believe Alabama is one of the top two teams of the country. I know Bama has the brand. Bama has the head coach. And frankly, I will take Nick Saban over I will take Day or over I would take Ogeron in any big game. So don't get me wrong. This is not about Nick Saban. I just don't think Alabama is one of the two best teams of the country. I think LSU and Ohio State are better than Bama. That would be my 1-2-3. 1-2-3. I got a hard time putting Clemson number four right now. Although, as I've said in the past, to me, it's careful what you wish for. People are going to poo-poo Clemson all day long because they never beat anybody. But Clemson's going to roll through their conference season undefeated, win the championship, and then you're not going to want to face them in December or January when you play the playoff game. But right now, I actually think Oregon is most deserving of number four. That's who I would put at number four. And I would put Clemson at five, and I would drop Oklahoma to six. And whether you put Utah at six or Oklahoma at six, I've got a real problem with Oklahoma losing to an unranked Kansas team. That is completely Kansas State team. Completely unacceptable. Completely unacceptable that that loss is the loss right now that hangs over Oklahoma. Penn State's got to be in there as well, and I would probably put Penn State, but we'll see what happens coming up this weekend. But that would be my top four college football playoff rankings.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.